Good morning, all. Hope all is having a great day so far. And here we are again. It's another Monday. And hope you had a chance to see yesterday's services. They were great. And topped off with a nice visit from Carol Storm. She visited and she gave a nice little testimony and memorial to her and Pastor Storm and on the anniversary of the finding of the church. So if you get a chance to take a look at it. So let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to get to look into your word, to find new meaning and to find something new and refreshing that we can apply to our lives today. And we look forward so much to getting to know you better and to understanding you and to know what pleases you, and that we know that it also please us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Here we are. We're still in the throne room. And I had started on the rapture in Revelation 4:1. This is a picture here that I used last time that kind of shows the room. And I got a little cursor going to so make it a little easier to point to things. We're going to go over a little bit more about this picture. This is what it might have looked like. It's a painting by someone Pastor Silcott knows, and some really nice paintings. The description is in the box. It's some Bible. Name of the website is BibleGraphics.com. But check them out. There's some really nice stuff in there. But here you got what it might look like to God. On the day of the rapture, and you see that all of us coming up to following Jesus there, through the depiction of Jesus, I would assume, right there in the front. And you can see the trumpet blast over here that we're going to hear. And I think we're actually going to hear our names called, just a guess. And what we're going to see a little bit today is, we're going to talk about the scroll. That'll be mostly in chapter 5, we talk about the scroll. But you're going to see there's four living creatures, and we're going to talk about them a little bit today. You got the lion, and you got the ox or the deer in the corner here, and we got the man, and you got the eagle. Believe it or not, these stand for the four attributes of Jesus, and also the four gospels. The lion for the tribe of Judah, here depicted in Matthew, and then we got the ox, which would be indicative of the think King James used a different word. Get to that part real quick. Calf. Yeah, another word for it would be calf. And we get the man, which is what this would be Mark, and Jesus as a servant. And then as a man, should be pictured by the man here, and that would be the Gospel of Luke. And then as an eagle, and that would be Christ's deity, and that would be the Gospel of John. In front here, you can see the 24 elders, which we're going to do a little review on that. I'm not sure I did a very good job the last time, so I wanted to hit that topic again. So that's basically what we got in this picture, and we're going to go through a little bit of this today. So let's jump into our study here today. Don't need two of me up there. There we go. So here we are in the throne room, and I'm just going to reread Verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I just wanted to readdress this real quick, but who I see that the elders are. I first want to decide who exactly is in the throne room. And so over in Revelation 7:11, we'll get there at some point, it kind of tells us all the different people that are in the throne room. And here, I'll just read it. And all the angels stood round about the throne. So we get angels. And about the elders. And that four beasts. And fell upon. And fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. So here we got angels. We got elders. And we got four beasts. So a little different. So some like to try to. Want to try to say that the elders are actually angels. Well, this verse kind of tells us that no. The angels are separate from the elders. So I want to point that out. So that's not who they are. So we know that they're not angels. So who could they be? Because there's a lot of them. And over in Revelation 5, we got a little more information about who these elders are. And the elder was speaking. This is John again. He's in again a sneak peek into the throne room in heaven. And he was there in Revelation 5. He's going to talk a little bit about what he sees. Keep reading my notes here. There we are. So here in 5:5 through 5:7 is a depiction of Jesus himself. So. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. I brought these verses up to basically say that the other two people that were represented in the throne room was God himself, along with Jesus as the Lamb of God. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. We'll get later on into the prayers of the saints a little bit further down into our study. But basically, I believe that they're representative of the saints who are currently in, during the tribulation, are being martyred for changing their mind and coming to Christ, realizing that that they missed the rapture and that they were, that what their friends and all the people that told them probably over the years has said that didn't believe, but now they do believe. But they're going to pay a heavy price for it. So so again, I'm going through this particular section because I wanted to explain who the 24 elders I believe are. So we'll still continue with this Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And the reason I'm bringing this up here is that the 24 elders, I've got some other verses I'm going to mention about who they are. It's funny they picked 24, or better yet, 12 and 12. But who they are, they represent people who are redeemed to God by every blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation. So it isn't just, you know, one group or another. It includes everybody that was redeemed by the blood of God. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So again, kind of representing the 24 elders again, that they are going to become kings and priests. And that we're going to reign with Christ on earth. So this is my indication from my study that the 24 elders represent us, the church. Now I know there's a lot more than 24 of us, and as my little picture depicted that we looked at last time, kind of an idea what the throne room might look like. You can see all those people behind. Those would be a mixture of angels and That's just a picture. That's true. It's kind of another depiction of what heaven might look like. The throne room, I should say. But the idea is that the 24 elders represent us. And in other parts that we're going to get to, they're going to talk about that that there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Where did my, where did it go from my notes? Get back to where I was. Okay. So one of the things that take into account we had in 5:8, where it said that whoever the elders are, just some other things to point out, they fell down and worshipped God. So the elders don't represent any kind of members of heaven during the years, even though they'd. Well, this is indicative of us, that we're going to fall down and worship God before the Lamb. And the Lamb, we know, represents Jesus Christ as the Lamb that saved us. As John the Baptist pointed out when he got baptized, lo, the Lamb of God. In verse 9 here, it talks a little bit about that whoever the elders are, that Jesus Christ died for them, and it was by the blood, shedding of blood, that we got redeemed. And I already mentioned the fact that it's out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, so it doesn't represent just the Jews, or doesn't represent just the church, but it represents everybody. So you can basically say that 24 elders is anyone who gets saved by the blood of Christ. Both the church, which is before the rapture, and most likely they represent the those who are going to be saved during the tribulation. I want to point out I want to talk about in 5:10 there, I talked about the fact that kings and priests. And we see over in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we just point out here that we talk about Jesus Christ now, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are going to become kings and priests also. That's where that term comes from, is because we're part of the body of Christ that we get that honor. Some other references we see over in Revelation 26, where again it mentions, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign, which means to be a king, with him 1,000 years. Again, referencing those redeemed by his blood, or the church, which at that point, will also include the 144,000 Jews and anyone that gets saved during the tribulation. Also in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also are as lively stones that are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Talking about the priesthood. That's what that verse is about. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Basically saying, again, just review that. It talks about the fact that we're the building blocks of the church, us, as Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and that we're going to be a holy priesthood. That's what First Peter he's talking about there. And also in Isaiah, he mentions that But you shall be named the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast yourself. So again, it's an Old Testament reference to what we will become in the new kingdom once we get past the tribulation and Jesus sets up for his kingdom. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years. Now I want to mention where I think the 24 comes from. And there's a couple of speculations. There's a mention of a 24 when it comes to David appointing priests. Samuel, I think it was. I couldn't find it. I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. I remember that Pastor Storm mentioned it one time. And I tried to find the verse, but I failed at that one. But I did find another verse that I saw in a commentary that I found very interesting. It's in Revelation 21, 12 through 14. And mainly 21, 12 and Revelation 21, 14 mentions two things about the new kingdom, temple in the new Jerusalem when it comes down out of heaven after the 1,000-year reign. But it says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So there we get the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, which represents all the Jewish nation. And we can see them here in Revelation 21:12 are mentioned when it comes to the New Jerusalem. On the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. So these 12 stand for the, what I can see is the 12 tribes of Israel who are saved through the tribulation and that are coming into the kingdom and become co-heirs. We actually become co-heirs because they're actually the chosen nation of Jesus. And that I found it interesting that it represents a also a welcoming, and I'm gonna talk about this particular 12 gates. That's the same verse again. In Isaiah 26:2, it says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." So it's kind of indicative of being welcoming into the kingdom as through a righteousness of Jesus Christ. Kind of represents what the gates are. And also in John 10:9, it also mentions, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So again, another representation of us going in and out as being saved through the blood of Christ. So we got the gates being indicative of that. And also Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So through Jesus Christ, who represents the door or the gate, we have access to the Father, which is going to be in the temple. Again, this is just some thoughts I had. You can study it for yourself and get an idea if it sounds logical to you. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." So that kind of talks about, so that's the first 12 elders. And kind of indicative of Israel redeemed, a redeemed Israel. But you know, once the tribulation is over and they're welcomed in and they are also redeemed by the blood of Christ, that we are all one people at that point. But now on to now for the other 12 people, 12 elders. And I think this represents the church itself, the other 12. Based on the fact that in Revelation 21:14 it says this, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now remember that it's talked about through a lot of the Gospels that Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the church, and that the apostles laid the foundation of the church in the first century, and that we've been building on that foundation ever since. And so it made a lot of sense to me that these other 12 elders, where it's mentioned here in the new Jerusalem when it comes out of heaven, that there's 12 foundations, kind of indicative of the church. Remember when Jesus says, upon this rock, when he was pointing to himself, I will build up my church. And so the 12 apostles, the 12, and that's indicative of the 12 foundations of the apostles who were the beginning of the church. So that's my take on the 24 elders, that they represent basically sooner or later all redeemed through the blood of Christ. In other words, it's going to be all our fellow heirs in heaven. And it's a representative of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. And I know there's other probably theories on what it believes, but I kind of like the one I kind of studied and found. But you're welcome to. I'd be curious if somebody else has another idea that they think about the 24 elders. But we will continue on into Revelation, back to Revelation 4, 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of light burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Again, this is a reference of Jesus reflecting back to Revelation 1:4, where John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So I bring that up because in 4:5 here, we see those seven lamps before the throne of God. But in Revelation 1:4, we see those seven spirits on earth. Where John, before he comes up to heaven in Revelation 4:1, he sees them in the vision of Jesus on earth. So again, another representation of the church. And so that, that's where we get the term in 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about the Holy Spirit being as the great restrainer right now. He's in, way back in, we'll get to it, but in Acts, originally where basically the Holy Spirit is represented by the seven lamps of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is indwelling us now here on earth. And we see this, Paul reflects on this in 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now that right there is being held at check because the Holy Spirit is here, or because the church is still here. Again, this is in Paul is talking about the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is stopping all of this right now. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is Satan that wants to become the supreme leader of the earth. But right now, the church is what's restraining him. And that's what 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4 is saying here. In verse 5, it says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So Paul's reminding him that this is stuff he talked about when he saw them. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So it's basically saying that he is being withheld right now. And he won't be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him who is coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's talking about the Antichrist who's going to be coming as soon as we're gone, with all deceitfulness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It's talking about those left behind. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That's an interesting term, that believe in a lie. There's a lot of speculation in the community these days about what the lie is going to be. I think the lie is basically going to be that the guy who claims to be the savior of the world, which is going to be the Antichrist, is the lie, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So these are the people that are going to be following this false leader, and believe in everything, every word he says. You also see this over in 1 Corinthians. I just wanted to reflect again on, I forgot to put it in here real quick, that the Holy Spirit first came. I had already done this. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, as it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is in Acts where the 12 apostles received the Holy Spirit, and this, and thus the beginning of the church. So Paul already talks about this too in 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are diversity of, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diverse differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit within, withal. Well, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. I'm reading this passage mainly because I wanted to, there's some out there that want to try to say that the Holy Spirit, you don't know that he's indwelling us unless you do certain things. But I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit is a lot of different things. So that don't think because you have one particular item that the Holy Spirit has given to you that it means you're going to have all of them. And that's what this verse this passage confirms. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but many. So I wanted to mention that. And also in mentioning in that verse 5:4, it talks about the lightnings associated, they're associated with God. So I just wanted to mention a few verses about lightning, and you see it in the Bible, and it's always indicative of God himself. So it's all through the Bible, and I just picked a few verses to point it out. In Exodus 19:16, if you remember, that this is up on Mount Sinai. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet. Is that a voice of a trumpet? Again, I think that's what we're going to hear. A trumpet is not a musical instrument, I don't believe. I think it's the actual voice of God. It's just going to sound like a trumpet. Exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the main tent and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Also over in Psalms, we see it also. The Lord also thundering in the heavens, and in the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coils of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited him. These are all references to God. Revelation 8, 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Again, all represent God himself. So on to verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Okay, here we get into the beasts. And I'm thinking I'm going to stop for today because we've gone over 30 minutes, and that is a good stopping spot. We'll pick this up again tomorrow about the beasts and continue with the throne room. And so I will, I'm trying to make these a little shorter only because it seems like I get long-winded, and to reflect on this a little bit. I know we only got through a couple of verses, but there's a lot of stuff going on in this throne room. So I want to make sure we hit all the different aspects. And so I'll end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word. Lord, we are so excited about that day that we're going to actually see your throne room. We just look, we just think about it a lot. I know I do, that what it's going to be like to really be with you. And we're just looking so forward to that day when we get to witness you in person, and that we get to see your throne room and to worship you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you again tomorrow, and I hope everyone has a great day.